Sci-Fi.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade and Willie. I'm Wade.
I'm Willie.
This is the Starburns Audio Produced Podcast. Hey, leave us a five-star review on iTunes. This would be the part where I read it, but we don't get any, so I'm not reading any. And go to our Patreon, subscribe on Patreon. It's patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. Get 2 bonus episodes a week. I did it.
Yep. We usually have more business, but good.
It's a lot easier when there's no business to do. All right, let's welcome aboard the SSRLSF. From the We Watch Wrestling podcast, our friend Vince Averill. Vince,
that's right. How are you? Thank you so much for having me on. I'm pumped.
What's up? Yeah, how you doing?
Thanks for being here.
I'm good, man. Just quarantining and taking my beard to another level that it's never been at before. Yeah. So
it looks really good. I've always been afraid. It gets really uncomfortable for me if it gets much longer than this. Did you struggle through a section that was uncomfortable and then it relieved itself?
No, it's never. I'm never super down with it. Like, and in fact, the biggest issue is around the mouth. Like, I'm consistently like getting it hair that's still attached, like goes in, and then I have to get it back out of there. Or one day I was eating some soup and I stopped and there was just soup coming out of my face.
That's disgusting. That's disgusting. Yeah.
I have beard envy because I'm Filipino, Chinese, and German, which all three of them just don't have facial hair. And so, like, when I see a beard, I'm like, oh, man, for a long time, I couldn't grow my mustache because this was growing uneven. Mm. So now that I can, I'm like, no, I would use it for every character costume that I ever had. Now I'm like, oh, I get to wear it now for reals.
Right on. Did you do something to cultivate it? Did you have to use
something? No, nothing. You know, they say shave, and I've shaved my beard my whole life.
That's an old wives' tale. That has not. That's ridiculous. How would you grow more follicles by shaving your? It's nonsensical when you break it down.
This is where maybe in a different week you'd be doing a spot for Hims, and you'd be like, my mustache is as full as it's ever been. That's why. But we don't need to talk about that.
Yeah, if only Hims had the interest. So, Vince, you're on a wrestling podcast. We're a conspiracy podcast. I want to ask you your thoughts on the only real conspiracy that I know that has to do with wrestling, and I'm sure there are many that I am unaware of, but the Montreal Screwjob.
Oh, wow.
Was it all a bit to promote, like, what are your thoughts? Because there are the conspiracy theorists that think it was all, what do they call it, an angle?
A work or a shoot. It was, some people think it was a work, right, which is to say that they had, you know, decided to do it and they all were all working together. I think that that's complete bullshit. Yeah. I don't think there's anything to support that, talking to the people who were there. And the other, like, the fact that it worked in their favor, that Vince McMahon became this giant heel and really helped the business take off. There was no way, because that's not even the way that it started afterward. He was turned that way. And so there was no part of it that was like a business move. It was other than him saying, like, I can't let this guy leave with my belt.
Yeah. You know,
but
yeah.
Didn't he get knocked out?
Okay. Let me ask you this.
He did. He got punched out.
Let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. If you're in control of the WWE, was it F or E at the time?
F at the time.
F, yeah.
You're going to let a guy do the letters ECW. Was it ECW or WCW?
WCW. Well, that was that's the thing. Everyone shows that video, but it was that the pay-per-view had gone off the air.
Oh, okay. So that's just like some footage that was recorded.
Right. Because they were doing a documentary on Bret Hart, like separately, not even with the idea that it was, you know, any of this was going to happen. But I also think that maybe their cameras were rolling, but I know that was never on the actual pay-per-view.
Okay, great. Thanks for clearing that up, man.
Bret Hart is, it's weird that his name is Hart because he's such a loving guy that whole story, if it was anybody else, it wouldn't have been as crushing. Like he would have done anything for Vince, and then Vince just didn't sign him because he was, you know, fucking, I can't think of his name. What's the nemesis? God damn it.
Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, Shawn Michaels. That's why I don't like him, because I'm like, dude, you were the new asshole that jumped in, and you made it worse.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. See, I mean, like, Bret Hart is everything I love about wrestling wrapped up into a character.
Right, a guy who gave his entire life, his entire family, everything about the dude was pro wrestling. And so then for that to have happened to him, it's just a special, extra special fucking kick in the nuts, you know?
His hair's too stringy. He's too, like, sweaty. I'm a Shawn Michaels guy.
Oh, fair enough. I will say, when you started talking about a conspiracy theory, I thought you were going to ask me if Kevin Sullivan killed Chris Benoit and his family.
Oh, wow.
But you didn't, thankfully.
Oh, well, that's more recent, right?
It happened. Yeah. The Chris Benoit killing his family and killing himself happened more recently, but there is a conspiracy theory that Kevin Sullivan, the ex-husband, or not even, I don't even know if they were married, the ex-boyfriend of the woman. Anyway.
Yeah.
No, my knowledge doesn't go that deep. I'm a very surface level.
Fair enough.
So I kind of think I know how this is going to go based on that answer. Although you studied wrestling, so that's different. What we do here is we do something called the WOW scale. It stands for Wait or Willie. It's 5 questions. And at the end, we'll grade you between 0 and 5. If you're more on the 0 side, you're more of a Wade. If you're up towards the 5s, you're a Willie.
Yeah.
Are you ready to take the WOW scale?
I believe that I am, based on what I know.
WOW scale.
Are you a Wade or are you a Willie?
Okay, first question, 3-parter. Do you believe in aliens? If so, have they visited Earth? If so, have they visited Earth in the last 300 years?
And you can elaborate if you want, or you don't have to, whatever you want to do.
Yeah, well, this is very difficult for me, because I feel like I have toggled a little bit, but as I sit here right now, I'm going to say no. I don't think that they have or that they are. Even though I have seen a UFO with my own 2 eyes, but a UFO is simply an unidentified flying object.
Tell that story real quick.
When I lived in Brooklyn, me and like three or four other dudes on the back balcony of our apartment were standing out there. We'd been drinking, but we weren't fucked up. And at the same time, everybody just starts going, "What the fuck is that? What the fuck is that?" And it was one of those classic, like, it was 3 orbs in a triangle shape. So the shape is moving and the orbs are moving, and everything about it was completely unnatural. And I think that's why we were so taken by it. And then, like, very quickly, it sort of either disappeared or shot backwards and disappeared very quickly.
Wow.
Awesome.
Well, let me ask you this. Because there was 3 orbs, was there stars? Could you see stars in between them? Like it could have been a big triangle ship, or was it definitely 3 separate?
No, it felt like it was one ship, right? It felt like it was one ship, but that there were 3 points that were spinning as well as the shape spinning way I saw it. But I didn't see anything in between those that I recall, but I just felt like it was all one thing.
Right. And so you don't think it's aliens. What would you say it is?
I don't know. Like, and that's why I say no, but I'm constantly going back and forth. I mean, maybe it's some sort of military item, you know, that would be the first thought, but
what year was this?
This was probably I'm going to say 2008, something like that. 08, 09.
Okay. All right.
So, and we, like, never found anybody else, though. We looked, you know, like, did anybody else see, and we never saw like anybody else be like, we saw it that night or something, but
yeah. Because that was like 2 years before Twitter. If only Twitter was around.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, second question. Do you believe in ghosts?
Again, I'm going to say no. But I had an experience. I went up to this house in northern Michigan, not in the UP, but in the northern part of the Mitten. We were recording some music there, me and another guy. But it's this old farmhouse, and there's all these creepy pictures. And but they hadn't told me anything. But there's a day where I was alone. The other guy had gone into town or something, and I was standing in this upstairs that just was like a little square with like two bedrooms or two or three bedrooms and a bathroom. And I just heard a moaning, but it was like a pleasurable moaning, not like a tortured moaning. But I was like, I came out of the room I was in. I was like, what the fuck? Because it just was, it was very strange. And then later, you know, the guy who owned the house was saying like, oh yeah, sometimes someone will sit on the bed with me, like all this other shit.
Shit.
So this happened to me, but I still, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe what's your deal, man? So you've had a UFO sighting and a ghost thing, and you don't believe in either of them.
Maybe I'm scared. Maybe if I believe it, it means that it might just, it might be a fear thing.
But listen, whether it is or it isn't, it's great that your answer isn't like, well, I saw something weird. It's a ghost, you know, like it shouldn't be that either.
Right. Cause I do seek to try to fucking rationalize, I guess, or like, you know, put something.
It's like if you got a little bit more information, you could assign it, but.
Well, but also, is this ghost just cranking off in the bathroom or something? Like what's going on? Like what kind of pleasurable moans are happening?
I don't know, but I'll say this, like looking at some of the photos of the people that had lived there, it's like the super old farmhouse, you know, just like, it just looked like it should be in a horror movie or something. And then once the dude who owned it, who was not one of the people there with us, was like, oh yeah, you know, like people sit on my bed. He's like, I think it came back down to my actual house in Lower Michigan because my office one day, like somebody knocked all the shit off the wall. Like he was sort of just like really selling the idea to me after the fact, but I was like, I don't want, like, that's the other thing. I don't want anything to fucking come with me anywhere, man. If I gotta like leave me alone, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it, what's the haunting? Is it Coraline? What's the doll? The new haunting one where it like travels it follows the person.
I can't watch horror movies, but Coraline, I think, is a name I've heard.
That's like, funny. I don't watch horror movies either. Like,
I don't watch horror movies either.
I can't do it. I tried to watch it. Like, even watching Walking Dead right now is like, fuck, man. Like, I look away. I'm like, I don't need to see this. I fucking hate zombies. I don't believe in them, but I also don't want to have bad dreams.
Right. I don't want to have bad dreams. And I also, sometimes it's not even like what's happening, like gory or jumpy or whatever. It's more like sometimes I'm like, who fucking fucked this up? Like what deranged motherfucker fucked this up?
I know that I could make like blockbuster horror, not to toot my own horn, but like
if you know that, you should be doing it. Those things are fucking moneymakers.
I don't want to contribute to how I grew up. I don't want to scare someone as much as I've been scared. Like that's my thing, is that like I can't. So I'm making a horror comedy right now. It's like comedy's a side thing. Like we'll laugh at it. Anyway.
All right. Third question. Do you believe in Bigfoot? I already know you're going to say no.
Absolutely not to that one. Yeah. And it also bums me out whenever you turn on the Bigfoot show and they're slamming the commercial with the idea that when you come back, you're finally going to see it. It's like, it's not going to come out on fucking Oxygen or A&E. If they film the shit and they found Bigfoot after the commercial, we already fucking know. But
yeah, we know.
If my first two were maybe, Bigfoot is absolutely not for me.
Okay. You don't get extra points for retconning your answers into maybes, by the way.
I'm just saying.
All right. Question number four, psychics.
I mean, I'm going to go with no. I mean, I've seen them work.
You've experienced it and it's psychic, but.
And it just smells like no to me.
Fair enough. Okay. Last question. Are you superstitious?
Super what?
Superstitious.
A little bit.
Yeah. Okay. You're just as a through and through zero. You're a total Wade.
Okay.
Congratulations. Welcome to the Zero Club.
Hey, man.
Maybe I can go from zero to hero. Let's find out here. We got a little.
All right, Willie, hit us with the topic.
Tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi, Viktor Grebennikov, Russian scientist who showed special powers of levitation through his bug research. Is there anything to this? Did he create a levitating machine, a levitation device that has been lost on purpose? Find out tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi.
So right off the top of my head, the image that I'm picturing is a bunch of air blowing bugs off of a table. Is that about what we're looking at?
This guy died in 2001, just to say that he's been around during modern current times.
Okay.
There are a lot of videos. Like, listen, I've heard this guy's name mentioned so many times because I am always looking up shit. And I'm just like, okay, yeah, I'll get to it one day. I'll get to it one day. This is the day. His name is always mentioned in stuff. There are videos online. Here's his story. He was hanging out doing a picnic. He's an entomologist. He studies bugs. He was hanging out one day and he felt real sick and had a metal taste in his mouth. What the fuck? Whatever. He comes back later, finds out that he's standing on top of a beehive that's underground.
That can happen?
Yeah, they can take caverns or whatever and turn them into beehives. He later was on top of an old beehive that was like already abandoned. Felt the same way. It's like, holy. And before he didn't know it was on top of a beehive, maybe a little bit, but whatever. He grabbed some of the honeycomb out and was like, oh, fucking weird. And when he would put his hand over it, he would feel like numb or could feel different. Like, holy shit, this thing is affecting my blood or whatever. So that made him really pay attention to hexagonal structure, right? Beehive, hexagon. So later on, he is studying these beetles, right? And I don't know which kind of beetle. He's just wanted to stack a couple of the wings on top of each other, and they magnetically repelled each other weirdly. He's like, oh, fuck, what the fuck?
Are they dead or alive?
They're dead. He just, like, a beetle has, like, this giant casing that, like, opens up when they want to fly, and then their wings flap underneath that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that chitin casing he was trying to stack, and that was like, oh, fuck, there's this weird magnetic thing that's happening. And so he started getting more wings and doing experiments with them. And he concluded that these beetles, if you look under the microscope, have this weird hexagonal structure with all these points. And so these points basically create an anti-gravity machine. So they open up, creates anti-gravity, and then they flutter their wings for whatever direction they want to fly. So he started grabbing all these wings, and supposedly he made a device using the wings of bugs that he could fly in. He could levitate and fly in.
So he's like a comic book supervillain.
Yeah, yeah.
So when I looked at his Wikipedia, I was interested to see that the first line was self-proclaimed scientist. Because what do you have to have a fucking degree or something? Because the dude obviously was studying shit, whether you believe this or not. And he later got a patent from Russia for some item that helped people absorb some sort of medicine or vitamin. Yeah. Quicker or better. So it's like, it was just weird to me that it said he was a self-proclaimed, because
Wikipedia is a weird animal, because though I quote unquote trust the stuff that comes in out in that, I feel like there definitely is editing job in the realms that I believe in. I think that there are people that pay attention to what comes out of Wikipedia. So he has to have self-proclaimed in front of that, because what was a scientist before colleges? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but he's from the modern era.
Well, yeah. But I'm just saying that, like, no matter what he studies, you can't recognize him as a scientist these days because it has to come from, I don't know. Entomology is a weird thing. Like, you can study bugs, and it's like, picture Darwin, you know, like the way that he studied the animals and drew them and, I mean, I'm sure he has. I don't know. Do you think Darwin has as a scientist? Just off the top of your head, I'm just like,
where'd he go to school? I don't know. But I will say, as a zero, Willie, the fact that he claims that he flew over the Russian countryside on his box, yeah. But that his camera shutter got stuck each time, preventing him from documenting it because of some sort of what, electromagnetic item or something?
So here's the thing. He had this levitating machine, and he flew over Russia, and he basically said, because of the nature of the machine, the electronics never worked to prove anything.
What year did this happen? Or year, like, what's the period of time?
I would say late 80s, 88.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because that video you sent me, I thought I was watching something from, like, you know, a Zapruder film or something.
I mean, I know that he got the patent in 93.
Okay.
So he was studying it for a long time. Yeah, I know, right? Because it would look like it was shot on film.
Right, it just looked like, it looked very old-timey to me, the what you had sent me to look at.
I'm not sure. Let me look it up in a second, but I'm just looking up real quick. Did Darwin go to school? It's just weird. I've never thought about this.
Whenever somebody brings up Darwin, it always makes me think about how the turtle, one or two of those turtles, is still alive in the Galapagos.
Oh, like, yeah.
He studied.
Yeah.
It blows my mind every time.
Charles went to Christ's College in Cambridge in 1827 for a Bachelor of Arts degree. I just want to laugh about that. Christ's College for a Bachelor of Arts degree.
He was strumming a guitar in the quad. What do you think was going on over there?
He was writing some poetry.
I know that he's done more school, but he got an art degree from a Christ College.
I mean, he was very good at drawing all the animals that he saw.
But like evolution, quote unquote, ruined Christ College.
You have to think, unless it was like more like, you know, how there's like Christ Church in, what is that? Is it New Zealand or Australia or something? So maybe it's more related to geography than the church calling it Christ.
Yeah, it could have been like a non secular. They just like the word Christ.
And he went to Cambridge, whatever. It's hard to get a straight answer from something like.
He wasn't riding the rails before he landed in Galapagos.
So here's the thing. There are videos of all of his wing experiments online, right? Where he's like, tries to stack a wing, it flips. Tries to.
Yeah. So I'm kind of catching up and I'm watching those now. And to me, they look like static electricity.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, definitely some of the wing things look like static electricity. The thing is he put the wings into a box. This is how he discovered all of it. Put the wings in a box, and then the box, like, flipped over weird. It's like, what the fuck? That's how he was like, oh, shit, there's something weird about these things. So to get back to his claims –
Okay, I just watched the box thing. I just happened to be at right? that point
the
video.
The box thing is weird. It flips pretty hard.
He, like, pushes it off of a platform, and then instead of falling, it, like, does a weird flip.
And that looks like just weird magnetic energy. It's like, because he does a few different boxes. But so he says, basically, that these chitin shells create a situation where these bugs are actually levitating. And so he builds this machine. And he also claims that when he gets up to speed, the gravity, like, moves around him. So he basically almost goes invisible, because when you look at him while he's running the machine, gravity, like, bends the light around him, and he says that, like, people lose sight of him, and he basically becomes an orb of light traveling, because he says he can go close to 1,000 miles per hour.
Okay, this guy's full of shit.
I mean that's a good initial thing. There, you know, there's a picture of him on his box levitating. There's all of his experiments with the wings online.
Thinking about that box and those handlebars and everything that I saw, the idea of going 30 miles an hour above the Russian countryside is a little crazy. He's doing upwards of 1,000 miles an hour. I mean, he would be, how do you not, I don't know. And how do you control it if you're levitating? How do you go down? How do you land?
So he basically,
how do you steer away from a building or something?
The idea is that he's got, on the bottom of the box, are four, we'll say popsicle sticks that what his device does. So there's four of them all around the corner. When it opens up, it like that is what fights gravity, right? So if you open up the front less than the back, then you lean forward and you start flying forward. And there's only a certain height it can go to because it can only support a certain weight versus the gravity. And so basically his device just has all these wings in it, and it just opens up and spreads the wings out in such a way that, I mean, supposedly that's how it works, right?
I think it's all, I just think it's all magnets. I think he's a con artist and it's just magnets. When I was in like fourth grade, my friend Adam, we had to like invent something. And he was like, oh, I want to invent a flying car. And so he built a track out of magnets, and then an opposite, the car had the opposite magnetic field. And then it would just like go down the track, you know, like levitating.
Yeah, it's like the Mickey Mouse.
That's what this stuff looks like.
What's that monorail called?
Yeah, monorail.
But also, if like, what is the cause of him stopping this work? Right, because if he lived all the way till 2001, why not? Like, what gave him cause to be like, all right, I'm gonna put this away. Like, no one's seen it, but I'm on to the next thing.
Well, the idea is that he was constantly suppressed by everything. They wouldn't allow him patents. The scientific community rejected him all the time. He published a book in 92 that had photos of the machine and explained how everything worked. But the publishing editor like took out all of the photos and then published it. So the idea is that he's been suppressed by a bigger force than him. And so if you look at Viktor Gerbenikov, if you believe his story off, like from the beginning, whatever, you know, I'm just saying that like you believe it because he's been pushed down by the corporations that are in charge of technology. And so he comes to say that like, well, if you look at Egypt, the reason why they, you know, have so much beetle worship is because they learned that the scarab is the beetle that's got that those wings. And so when you look at a scarab hieroglyph, it has the wings of a bird, not the wings of the beetle. And so he's basically saying that like they knew that this beetle had that. That's how they flew, is that the technology of anti-gravity comes from their magnetic structure, which is based on this cavernous hexagonal depression. And
they also worship cats because cats always land on their feet.
Yeah. And I mean, to tell you the truth, I think that like our interpretation of both of those things are probably wrong also, you know, like, oh, they, like I watched somebody look at a hieroglyph and be like, look, this, there's a scarab beetle. He's holding the sun above him. And so this, the beetle represents form or manifestation, and the symbol means all, and says all form or manifests from Ra, which is sun. And I'm just like, I don't buy that either. The reason why they worshiped the, and I, you know, who am I? I don't fucking know. You know, I'm fucking stupid, but they worship.
I disagree.
They worship the dung beetle because that thing, rolling around that dung. I don't remember now, you know, but it had something to do with, I actually don't remember, but the dung beetle paralleled the rise of the sun every day. Anyways,
Willie, you know, has anyone else taken up his work and studied these beetles or the wings or their ability to do these things that we're aware of?
Well, so this is the crazy thing. This is the turn of this episode. There's some people out there that have recreated all of his videos. And the way that they recreated them were by faking all of them. And so it's weird to me because when I see this, I was like, holy shit, this is crazy. I want to know more. So the first thing I do is look up debunking videos. And the debunkers, like, can recreate everything that he does, except for the crazy stuff. Meaning, you know, there's a video of him flying on his machine. I haven't seen that. There's a picture that everybody uses. We're like, look, his shadow. I'm like, no, you can hang. Most of the weird wing stuff, the people that recreated that recreated it exactly the same. But nobody recreated the box flipping weird. And so it just makes me say that, like, my interpretation of it all is, I don't know.
Dude, like, hang on. I think I could recreate the box flipping weird right now. Like, he puts a box on another box, and he pushes it to the middle of the box, and then it flips. Like, couldn't you just put two magnets?
Listen, I magnet play my life, dude. I have so many magnets that I had to take them to work because there's so many dangerous magnets I have that babies swallow and then they actually, like, fuck up their intestines because then they, like, start ripping through their skin, you know? I had to take a lot of magnets out of my house because of Moose. Because I am a magnet play motherfucker. I have rare yeah. earth magnets. I have giant magnets. I have, like, the rare earth balls.
Go whatever. On. What's your point?
That specific flip from that video, like, you just have to have a giant magnet that I don't have. You have to have fucking giant magnets.
Yeah,
which,
but
which he could get. Not, which he could get.
You could get them.
But I'm saying, like, in order for you to create it, it's going to cost you hundreds of dollars, which is fine. That doesn't mean anything. I'm just saying, like,
I spend hundreds of dollars on earbuds. That's not. I could, if I wanted to recreate it, I could do that.
You could, but you wouldn't. Just saying, like, here
if
I am.
If I'm making a video for YouTube, I would. I'd be like, look, I can fucking do this.
I'm Mr. Magnet, dude. And none of the magnets I have could do that.
See, this is why I think it's important to try to figure out when this began. Because then it gives you a better idea of what people were doing, what scams were possible. You know, like, not a full scope. This guy may have come up with something. But it's like, the way that video looked to me, I was like, oh, this is 1920 or something. But maybe that's just Russian video.
No. So he was born in 27. So, like, he was born in 27. So these videos had to be when he was like 50, right? So it was, like, probably in the 70s.
Like, my grandma's older than him. My thing is, I believe that these videos were VHS from the 80s. That's what I
okay.
think.
Okay. And you know, and the thing is, that's Russia too. So yeah. Like, everything you've said, you have to put it in Russia in that time, you know, like being able the publisher to just be like, nope, we're not showing this. The scientists being like, fuck this guy, you know, like, not that that wouldn't have happened otherwise, but you have to at least put it in the perspective of Russia in the 80s.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is the crazy thing to me is that, like, let's say in the 80s, drop your anything you have about anything, and let's say that all of this stuff was real and it was a Russian scientist in the 80s. There's no way this would ever be credible, even if it was. Just saying that, like, Russia turned into, hey, you guys are, no matter what, first off, you're the bad guy of every movie since the Nazis. Like, James Bond fought.
Well, so yeah, I mean, this is peak Cold War, right? So, like, if he were actually doing this, wouldn't the Russians be like, holy shit, we can fly without power? And they would, like, use that, wouldn't they?
Like, I would assume that KGB would be like, hey, man, stop with your videos. You're working for us now. You know, like, they're like the mafia of governments, even though we are too. Yeah. We can't admit it.
We finally caught up.
Yeah.
But the other thing to me, though, is, at least again in the video, it seemed like the box was not a lot bigger than the area he would stand in. You know, it was almost like a pogo stick, but it had enough room for 2 feet with a little bit of room on the outside of it. So it's like for the governor to be like, well, how many of these beetle wings can we get? We could fucking power a whole ship. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, true. If it does exist, I mean, it's the size of a Segway. So
I mean, I'm showing this picture right here.
You would need like a shitload of
this, well, yeah, this picture is it. I'm just saying that like this makes me think it's fake, because how is this the only picture that exists? It's just like, hey, look, I'm floating.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me.
Can you imagine? It is like you're standing on a fucking like 2x2 square with a handle, like a Segway pogo stick handle, and you're going 1,000 miles an hour on that thing. You would fucking kill yourself.
Well, but here's the thing is, like, I don't know how he stops. I know I think about this all the time, and I'm like, well, he says that when he starts going fast, it's almost like a phase shift that happens because gravity then parts around him the same way that when you drop iron filaments on a magnet, you know, the magnetic field lines like create a circle around the magnet. He's like, he can't wreck because everything will magnetically bounce off of him. And I'm like, oh, that's just so fascinating to me, because that is how that energy would work. So he talks about things that, like, I'm like, oh shit, I subscribe to this, but I also think that he's full of shit. So I'm like, if there was a
Wait, let me ask you this. So he puts a bunch of, because we haven't talked about how he built this thing. So it's like a little platform. Where does he put the beetle wings?
Picture.
And then how does he activate it? Because, you know, he's standing on the ground, and then the next picture is him hovering. So like, how does he activate it?
So to me, this all exists from vibrational sound energy. So I think that he is just adding electricity to the wings to vibrate them at a certain frequency. And so
isn't the whole thing that it's like it doesn't have electricity? It's like,
No. I think that there's batteries hooked up in this. The whole thing is that it is magnetic field energy. Not that it's not powered or anything.
Okay. So that makes it totally fucking useless, because if you have to have energy to power it, then we'll just take the jet.
Well, but it's a battery, not a consumable fuel. It's not like burning anything. It is anti-gravity, because it's basically like if you create a magnetic field, you bounce off the gravity. And so I subscribe to all of this, you know, pseudoscience more, you know, like, yeah, this is what Tesla was doing. Basically, electricity, magnetism, electromagnetism is all the same shit. And so
I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. No. Well, I'm just like, he's in that realm of this weird pioneer of this information is here around us. We just don't know how to use it. Like anything that Tesla was into, like, I know that they were against his free energy and stuff, whether it was real or not, that's debatable. But everything that it was into was like, you know, that there are pictures and videos of him in this fucking room of electricity. And he was like, if you want to understand the universe, you have to understand electricity. Was it? I don't know the quote anymore, but they're all these. He falls in line with the same type of scientist that Tesla was, that is against the grain in that nobody should pay for, well, you know, that like, it's basically the free energy.
To that, I always just go back to my default of like, okay, yeah, maybe it does exist, but it's just not practical. Like, to get any use out of it, you have to build these fucking giant Tesla coils. And it's like,
right.
But
here's the thing. I feel like what he has potentially discovered, right, is these wings somehow react and are levitating even after they've been pulled off the bug. And so rather than thinking about it like, well, then Russia would want to harness this power for whatever, it's more like, well, this is an interesting thing that's taking place. So then from this, what do we need to discover? What does this then mean, you know, in the grander scheme? You know, it's not like this thing is the enough power to destroy another planet, but it may lead you there.
Yeah, exactly. And so to me, I subscribe to the idea that he tapped into something and they kind of, they ruined his credibility. And I say they, and it's easy to just brush that off and be like, well, you know, they made him not credible. And it's like, I mean, that's a big statement too. Tesla's quote was, if you wish to understand the universe, think of energy, frequency, and vibration. And these are all the things that Grebennikov was getting into, was, you know, energy, frequency, vibration. So this device works because he's affecting something on a small scale, whether it's a battery, whether it's, I think it was battery powered, but just saying that, like, it's easier for me to think that he tapped into something and people are trying to squash his idea than to think that he's a hoaxer. Even though people have recreated a lot of his videos in the hoaxing style. So it's weird to me because I'm like, well, listen, as much as I know about Tesla, I can show you how he is taken out of history books for everything that he created that they aren't giving him credit for. And it's crazy to know that a direct heir, a direct relative of Trump, was the guy working for the FBI that took his personal files away from him when he died. This is fact.
I mean, Jesus
this is
Christ.
Fact. This is fact.
Yeah, but now you, what is it?
So the point at which that he discredits himself to me is that this technology, or whatever you want to refer to it as, it didn't cease to exist or cease to work. And so, like, you could have shown that to someone. It can't always be that your camera got stuck. And even if you're talking about in Russia at the time, it's like, if someone had seen it or taking an image or a video of it, by the time the fucking shit fell later, maybe we fucking see that video. As much as you can discredit someone, I just feel like if it had actually worked at some point, someone else could say, I saw it.
Here's my answer to that, and I don't like this answer. My answer is, have you heard of the Coral Castle in Florida?
I have not.
There's a guy who says that he figured out how they built the pyramids and Stonehenge and all this stuff, and he built this castle out of these giant slabs of rock.
Oh, shit, yes, I saw it. It's on In Search Of, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And, yeah, I saw it on In Search Of, yeah.
He basically, that was, he wanted money. He wanted a payoff. And he, it was, you know, nobody thinks that way to figure out how they did it. He figured it out. He wanted a payday. He didn't get it, so it went to his grave with him. And so I'm like, dude, if you are a scientist that, like, and everyone's like, now, fuck you, man, you're fucking stupid. And you're right. Okay, nobody gets to see this shit until you guys respect me. I feel like this arrogance of, I'm smart, I figured it out, can take over and make them go, like, what am I going to fucking monkey dance for you? You want me to fly my ship? Give me some money. Give me the credit that I deserve. And so that's where I'm like, well, I lean, you know, I'm not going to say that I just straight up believe them, but dude, if I figured something out, and I didn't get a payday, and I, like, if you give it to the world, the energy consumers are going to take it from you and squash it the same way they squash the electric car. You know, like, I know that it exists now, but I'm just like,
all right, but come on. This is a guy who's gluing dead insects to the bottom of a fucking 2x4. And then
there's no glue,
around.
Wade. Come on.
Dude, I was like trying to find that bug this week. I was like, I got to do
It's just not practical. How many fucking bugs would you need to, like, make a car levitate or something? It's, like, insane.
Well, I mean, picture, yeah. But that
you gotta find the bugs. You gotta pay people. You might as well just use electricity, man.
Let me say, though, as a guy who knows how to hold a grudge, I was like, okay, this makes sense to me. You're fucking pissed. Fuck everybody.
The Coral Castle guy. Like, you can visit his castle. And nobody knows how he did it. And it's like, fuck you, man. I'm dying with this shit. I'm like, you have relatives.
Have either of you ever seen the movie Microcosmos?
No.
It's the same people who made Winged Migration, which was a little bigger. That one was all birds.
Yeah, I saw
that. It's almost like a precursor of Planet Earth, but it's like this whole movie on the fucking, like the ground where you just see all these bugs doing their thing. it's amazing movie, but I bet this beetle or some similar beetle is in that, because there's plenty of that shit in Microcosmos.
Well, and so here's the thing. It's like, listen, do I believe that this guy tapped into something? I think it's possible, but what makes me think it's possible is all of this beetle worship from Egypt, where I'm like, they don't take a beetle and put the wings of the beetle on the beetle. They put wings of a bird on the beetle. So to me, that's like a different representation that like we can't comprehend, because I think that the hieroglyphs were written 20,000 years ago, not 6,000 years ago, like we subscribe to.
Whatever. You're such a fucking Egypt file. If you love Egypt so much, why don't you marry it?
But like to have a scarab
motherfucker. He goes on and on about Egypt and how they're so much more advanced than we will ever be. And it's just like, I don't buy any of that, man. Like,
But it's not that they're more advanced than us. They tapped into a different advancement that was like more in tune with how the universe works. Like if you talk to like most, I don't know, like when you get into, when you look at the sciences of today, let's just say quantum mechanics, quantum computing that they're getting into, and in entanglement, these weird things that are more sci-fi than sci-fi, but it is the nature of reality. If you just tapped into the nature of reality, you would see a different existence. And that's all I'm saying, is that like, I don't think that they were more, I think that they were more in tune.
Well, I'll put King Tut up against any hard touring band. Kiss, Springsteen, King Tut has been on tour for fucking decades now, dude. That guy is making towns.
Let's take a quick break. Then we're going to come back and continue talking about a strange Russian man who glued beetles to things.
Really Bad Movies, in association with Craig's Fine Grocery Stores, presents A Normal Family.
Billy, catch the ball. Billy, catch it. I'm going to throw it. Billy.
A possessed knife.
Hey, Billy, where'd you get that?
Why?
Well, because Mom wanted to cut some ham that she just cooked, and she doesn't have a knife. She's looking for one. Bring that to Mom.
This knife turns anyone that touches it into a cold-blooded killer.
Mom? What's wrong? The ham's over there. Mom? Mom? Mom?
Bloodblade 4. Bloodbath. You don't need to see the other three to enjoy the thrills. And the kills. And the chills.
I wish Mommy didn't kill Billy. He was cool.
The knife. It has me. It has control of me.
What are you talking about, Greg? Put that... What are you doing?
Greg, put that thing down, man. That's a serious weapon. Greg!
Everyone killed everyone. Everyone did it. I don't get it. Wait. Maybe I do.
Bloodblade 4. Bloodbath.
King Tut is a band?
Yeah.
No, I'm talking about the body. I'm talking I'm talking about King Tut at the mummy. You know, he just goes from museum to museum and has for decades. He's on tour. He's constantly on tour.
What am I thinking of? King Crimson? Is that what I'm thinking of?
King Crimson. Dude, this is a funny story. So I got King Crimson and what's the band with the flautist from that same era? Fuck, you know what I'm talking about.
I know that you're not talking about Jethro Tull.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Oh, dude, he plays the flute. So my buddy Matt McCarthy, you guys may know him. He loves Jethro Tull. So I get King Crimson and Jethro Tull mixed up. We're like at a party and I'm like, dude, King Crimson's coming, man. We got to go. And he's like, oh, cool. All right, let's go. So we go to the show and King Crimson is like three drum sets. Like Adrian Belew's looks like an action figure where they don't bend the legs. He's like leaning on his chair playing his guitar. We couldn't smoke enough weed to get into it. more dudes in a wrestling show, like watching, just studying. And at some point, you know, Matt's like, how many times have you seen these guys? I was like, I haven't fucking seen them. You love this band. He's like, what are you talking about? And we both realized at the same time, he was just like going because I wanted to go. And I was it's fucking ridiculous. Yeah. We left. But
that's really funny.
Oh, bailing on a concert is one of my favorite things. Like, I love bailing on a concert. Wait, but welcome back to Real Life Sci-Fi, everybody. We're talking to Vince Averill. You're in a band, right? You want to plug the band? You got an album out?
Well, I'm in a hardcore band called Cross Control. We have a 7-inch EP that's on New Age Records, but it's also streaming everywhere that you may want to stream it. And I do a record label called Capsule Records, and I just put out, or I have a record coming out by a different band called Pilau, which is a band from DC. But yeah, all that, man. I'm involved in hardcore basically since.
Dude, that's so fucking rad. It's so funny because like our friend group is so big that like you just meet people and then find out they're as amazing as you. I'm like, what the fuck? Are you fucking kidding? Like, honestly, your group Cross Control, like I missed the boat. You came out a year ago. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I'm just listening to it now because last week Jonah mentioned it on our show. And I'm like, dude, I fucking, like, I listen to electronic music, but I grew up listening to this stuff. I'm like, you guys are, I fucking love your music so much, dude. I'm like, you're singing?
Yeah, thank you,
great,
man.
Dude. It's really good.
I appreciate it. Yeah, yeah. So it was one of these things where I had, you know, I did my label in the past and then have slowly creeped back, but I used to do some bands here and there. And there's a certain point a year or two ago, I was like, I just want to get some people together and do a 7-inch. And then we got together and started playing and it was fun. And so we ended up doing shows and putting a record out and all that. So yeah, it's one of those things, dude. It's like anything you guys know, like the shit that always like is the most meaningful in hits is the shit you just want to do. You're not like doing it because you think it's like the thing to do or what's hot or whatever. You're just like, I want to fucking do this.
Dude, you guys are tight, man. Like it's really good.
Dude, I hope, you know, for all of us that on the other side of this quarantine, we can play some shows because I would love nothing more than to see Willie in the crowd, dude. You know that.
Dude, you know what's, I was trying to crack the code, you know, because like, what is our future? Because even next year at this time, they're going to be shooting a temperature gun at the center of your forehead, which checks your temperature, but like I think also can affect your pineal gland, you know? Like, let me just say, if there's a temperature gun, they can check your wrist. If you check with any doctor, your wrist temperature is more accurate than the center of your forehead. I don't think it's good to send those types of waves at your pineal gland. Just saying. Mm. Have that in your back pocket. Get your temperature test on your wrist because a year from now, when you try to fly, they're going to check your temperature because COVID isn't going away.
I've said that once the fucking vaccine is available, there'll be a second doorman at the bar who's checking you for your vaccine, you know?
Yeah. So I'm like, I kept thinking of like how are bands going to work? Like, I laugh at the idea of like, you know, like a glass encasement for like a band.
Yeah. You know, I'm like, it's fucked, man. And now, so, you know, if you said it's okay, we can get off topic here and there, but so, you know, Google is handling some of the testing, right? Do you think that is on some higher order? They're going to use that information.
Of course they are, right? I think that right now the way that information works, the way that information and money go hand in hand, the most valuable thing is all of your information because everyone's going to buy it. And so it's weird because if you have it, like I almost think you shouldn't tell anybody because everybody's going to track you. And that information is going to be more valuable in the world of tracking people than you're like a famous blogger, because they're going to track all of your trends and see who you're connected to and see who else got it. And like, I just think that that's really valuable.
Just remember,
how's it valuable? How do you monetize that information?
The same way that they've monetized just regular shopping habits. It's not that JCPenney's wants to know what you bought, but the company that's responsible for advertising for JCPenney's is going to try to take all that information in to try to like come up with a formula that makes sense for, oh, you get this much money because you know, I don't know. It's the companies behind the scenes that are making all the money now.
Whoever controls the mail controls information.
Yeah, right. I mean, like
that's from Seinfeld. That was Kramer said that one time.
Well, no, Newman said it, right? He's the mailman.
Newman. I'm sorry, Newman. Yes, Newman. Apologize. I've had too many of these.
The mail never stops, Jerry. The mail never stops.
I've been drinking these microbrews from Colorado on your behalf, Willie.
Yeah. Wade and I, we've known each other since middle school, well, high school.
Oh, you're both Colorado boys?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. All right. God damn.
I only moved out here because Wade convinced me that I should go with him.
Okay.
It's not that I had aspirations. My aspirations were to get big in the small town, you know, like I was happy living in small town forever, but whatever.
Well, I'm happy you're here,
sorry,
dude.
Willie.
No. I mean, like I'm glad you showed me the light because the last thing I want to do is fucking be small town boy because of the opportunities and the collaborations of creativity that have happened, you know, like LA is creative synergy. And like that doesn't happen in small towns.
Well, we were talking about hardcore music. Mm-hmm. You know what else has a hardcore? These Beatles.
It's that outside shell. It's the inside of the wing.
I mean, listen, the reason why it's easy, because listen, I don't.
Wait. Like, here's the thing. You don't believe him, right?
Who, me?
You don't believe Victor. Yeah.
I think that he tapped into something and that he got squashed by disinformation, even KGB. I think that he tapped into something that was legit and everybody turned it on him. I think the videos are fake.
What about my point that it's just not practical? And this is what I think of Tesla too. I think like, oh, great. Yeah, you discovered that thing. We've got a way better way to do that. That's like more cost effective.
My stupid sci-fi answer is I've got two things. One, most animals that are migratory on the planet, and there's a bunch of them. I'm talking whales, sharks, birds, all kinds of shit.
Old people.
They perceive the magnetic field, and the magnetic field leads them. They live their life following it. So when you see whales beaching themselves, people are like, why the fuck are these whales committing suicide? Like, you're so fucking dumb. They're following magnetic field lines and they're in a flux right now, maybe because of a pole shift, maybe because of regular sun stuff, but the magnetic field lines are getting messed up. They don't want to commit suicide. They live their lives following this field and it's leading them on the beach. That's one. And two,
I like the idea that whales want to kill themselves because I relate to the whales.
I'm just swimming around here all day. Oh, what man. The fuck is it all worth?
What's the point of my life? It's like I'm treading water.
But I'm like, when I look at like science needs to come up with an answer for it. And without them coming up with the answer, your perception of what's happening isn't right. Every time I tap into previous intelligent civilizations, I'm not trying to say that they were more technologically advanced than the iPhone. I'm just like, no, there are the ancient megalithic structures, pyramids, right? Okay, let's just say the main pyramid. The blocks were 5,000 to 9,000 pounds each. They fit perfectly in each spot. It's not like it was one size. It was... They're all different sizes. Each block is completely different. And each block specifically only fits in the place where it fits. Now, take away the pyramid. The structure that the pyramid is sitting on, there are gigantic blocks of stone that make it so that this thing doesn't shift. Those gigantic blocks of stone, we cannot make, we cannot move. We cannot, like, forget about the pyramid. We've always been like, they say we cannot recreate the pyramids today with today's technology because there's too much weight. And I'm like, well, you know, they may have tapped into a different style of technology. It doesn't mean that it's better. But the stones that the pyramid's sitting on, that's something that we cannot deal with. And so I say that it's not that they tapped into something better. It's just different. Shaping giant slabs of stone and being able to levitate them using the magnetic field falls in line with everything that I believe. So, like, it's easier for me to go, like, oh, there's something real here, but the disinformation is getting pushed out there so that we'll never find it. Because let's just say that this was real. And let's say that he could fucking fly at 1,000 miles an hour. I know that this is lame to say that it's going to kill every fucking oil industry and all this shit. Everything we pay money to, it's going to kill those industries. But those companies are definitely going to spread misinformation and suicide people in the same way that, I know this is a lame side tangent, but the medical industry in America is like so powerful that the last thing you're ever going to get prescribed is an orange. You're going to get prescribed vitamin C.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. That is lame.
It is lame. It is lame. You're getting warbly. Fix your. And so it's a bad parallel. But I think it's an easier parallel for me to jump on board to than this guy faked everything just to get attention. Because you know what he didn't get? Attention. He didn't get money. He didn't. His book didn't sell. Whatever. I mean, that's.
So you believe him. You believe the man that what he said he did, he did. What's possible, he said, is possible.
I think that a lot of the videos that were made on his behalf were made on purpose to make him not. I don't think he made them. I think other people made them to be like, hey, whatever. I mean.
But what he said he did, he did.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So he flew 1,000 miles an hour.
Over Siberia.
I don't know. I keep going. Birds, how do you know how fast you're going?
Through would just be repelled.
Well, you know, like a boat moving through water. You're not half the things you're not going to run into because the water's being pushed out of the way. You know, so a magnetic field works the same way. Where it's like you're not going to run into a comet. It's not going to fly through you. The magnetic field is going to propel it around you.
Oh, thank God.
No so, wake.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The magnetic wake. That's a well, great then,
well,
band
then how
name.
Come, well, then how come we're constantly getting hit by asteroids and shit?
Constantly?
Well, oh, all the time. Look into it.
Hey, man, Google that shit.
All right.
So, I don't know. I mean, like, I know that some of the videos are faked, man, because the fakes that I've seen make me go like, oh, that's exactly what they did.
Well, okay, but here's my thing. Like, outside of the whole, like, he can go anywhere because he's got a weird field around him, this is just the same as magnets.
Yeah.
So why use bugs? Just use magnets. And then it's unstable. Like my friend's track that he made, he had to build walls on it because otherwise the magnet would just run off the track, right?
Yeah, with all due respect to your science fair, Wade, listen, how are you going to take magnets and then go as high as this dude said he went and as fast as he went? It's the magnets are not comparable to the bug wing.
Well, that's just
wait,
the thing.
Wait, hang on. Like, how high did he go? Because
I mean, when you say over the countryside, that means you're pretty fucking high in the air, right?
He went like 1,000 feet.
So 1,000 feet, 1,000 miles an hour. He's just
well, the thing is these are all he used kilometers. So like
so everything's 1,000 in kilometers.
It was like he had different numbers, but like yeah, I mean, like it's weird because I laugh off half of this shit, and the other half I'm just like, I think he got it.
God, okay. So wouldn't recreating his devices just be as simple as getting a bunch of beetles and fucking tearing their wings off onto the bottom of a skateboard?
I tried to recreate. I mean, I tried to find beetles. I didn't find any this week. You know, I've seen them all week for months until now. Anyways, the thing is that there are different kinds of beetles that exist everywhere else, you know, like in so specifically I think that
well,
there's
hang
a
on.
Scarab
so, like,
beetle.
What's at the core of this is the hexagon structure, right? Because that's the beehive thing that translated into the beetle's wings. So, yeah. Like, if it's not an actual material, then couldn't we just use the shape of a hexagon and recreate this stuff?
If they'd let this dude totally figure it out and work it out to its potential, probably. But is there a subreddit for Back to the Future where there is some speculation about beetle wings related to hoverboards?
Yes, right?
Maybe.
Wait, hold on. The answer is yes.
Is there a hexagonal shape on the bottom of that board?
Well, you know where there is a hexagonal shape? If you look at the top of Saturn, there is a perfect hexagon.
Okay.
At the top of Saturn. And it is the most amazing thing that makes you go like, oh, math is the language of the universe.
Well, when you say it like that.
My deficiency in math is what allows me to sort of be that maybe in this 0 to 5 situation where I'm like, I don't know. I don't think so. But maybe I just don't understand, except for Bigfoot.
You know? Listen, Bigfoot is the God damn it, man.
What if the reason we can't find Bigfoot is because he's surrounded himself with hexagons and he's everything levitating. Is repelled? Yeah. He's traveling 1,000 miles an hour. You can't even see him.
It's only when he pulls up every so often that someone thinks they see him.
Like, you gotta stop at some point. You gotta eat, you know.
Yeah.
You know,
what's he pissing jugs up there? Come on.
It look, you know, for the one guy that says it looked like he was riding some kind of razor.
Bigfoot's riding a razor.
That's why his walk is so fucked up, because he's used to levitating.
Yeah, man, he hasn't got his land legs.
All right, well, we know you gotta go, so thanks for being here. Let's wrap this up. Willie, do you have any kind of final thoughts on this?
Listen, God damn it, man. It's funny how it's easy for me to laugh at what I believe in. I just think that the universe is the real universe is something that we actually can't perceive. And so what's more laughable to me is us trying to define things by just using our senses. I know that science goes beyond that and you need to be able to retest it. But I'm like, hey, man, just because you can retest it doesn't mean that it's actually fact, right? I mean, like in the lamest thing I've ever said in my life, if you punch something and it cries, if you punch it again, and it cries again, like, I don't know what the fuck I'm saying. I'm just saying that, like, our perceptions, our universe is based on our perceptions, which is laughable because it's so different from person to person. I know that you can retest things, but we laugh off, you know, to me, the migratory fields and species that experience the magnetic field is something that was laughable until now. And I'm like, I just put that in the same page of like, we are laughable because we think we're so smart that we can quantify everything. That's what I'm getting at. So
Vince,
yes.
If this topic was a wrestling match,
mm-hmm.
which wrestling match would it be?
Well, let me say this. As Willie was just wrapping up, the thought that came in my head, a phrase, a statement that Vince McMahon likes to say quite frequently is perception is reality. And that's what you're talking about.
Well, it's like,
whatever your perception is your reality. Perception is reality.
I'd say, yeah. I mean, I think it's a valid point. I think, yeah, maybe there is something to this. As impractical as it would be to glue a bunch of beetle wings onto the bottom.
No glue. There's no glue. Why do you keep insisting that there's some sort of glue?
How else do you stick stuff to things?
They're dead. You don't got to stick them to nothing. You put them in a box. They start flipping around. Next thing you know.
I know.
As impractical as that might be, if this is actually a thing, then yeah, it seems like oh, maybe someone should look into this.
I don't buy the descriptions of the device. I don't buy the description of the device, but I buy the technology. Go on.
But it's a point. It's a point worth making. Yeah. Someone should pick up the Tesla stuff. Someone should pick up this guy's work.
Like, Elon Musk.
Yeah.
No. Musk is like, he says things that are so offensive that I'm just like, dude, you are the perfect example of what someone who's had everything their entire life would say.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was like simply
piggybacking off of the Tesla. Gentlemen, thank you so much. It has been so fun.
Thanks for being here.
Maybe again sometime.
So good to see you. This is how we hang out with anybody anymore. So it's great to see you. Everybody's frozen.
He's getting
the there. Government. He is. He's back.
What were you saying? You froze.
Me?
Yeah. You froze.
Oh shit. You said
this is how we hang out with people.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm like, this is how we hang out with anybody anymore. So it's great to see you, man. I haven't seen you personally since a New Japan wrestling show where we just like got to smile at each other.
Say what's up. You were down. You had some nice seats that night. I remember seeing you right down there on the floor.
This was before AEW. We knew it was coming.
Yeah. You've got a cross control care package coming. You're the new biggest fan, so I'm going to take care of you.
I'm getting goosebumps from that. I'm like, oh, that's fucking cool, man. Like, you guys are fucking great. I'm gonna fucking be the fan that you want, dude.
Right on. Thank you very much.
I'll randomly see you at a bar at some point.
That's right.
Hey, everybody, listen to the We Watch Wrestling podcast with our buddy Vince here. Thanks so much for being here. And remember, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not after you. Thanks for listening, everybody.